Nashville next man up 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Today, just me and Connor. Connor is the next man up today. Usually on Tuesdays, it will be TD Tuesdays with Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. But with the Titans currently on the field out in, not Atlanta, Flowery Branch, Georgia, he is not available today. So he was with us yesterday. But in the future, every Tuesday, we will have Teron Davenport with us.
Today's Newt Tuesday.
Yeah, it's Newt Day.
Which is a significant downgrade from TD Tuesday.
I wouldn't say so. We're happy to have Connor with us, and we have a fun show planned. Titans, again, are on the field for joint practices with Atlanta today, so we will have all your reaction from anything that comes out down there. Although, it seems like maybe we won't get a whole lot of updates from Flowery Branch, Georgia, because as Paul Kaharsky put out, there is a 90-second limit on videos. Although the big updates from these joint practices are usually not in the video tapeable portion anyway, right? Like, it's usually the team practice, you're not seeing video anyway.
We're not allowed to shoot anything.
Right. It's just the on 3rd and 10 in a team practice or in a team drill, Cam Ward hit Gunnar Helm for 17 yards or whatever it is. So we will continue to give you updates from Atlanta as they come out. Titans and Falcons in day one of two joint practices. Also, the AP poll came out in college football. We will talk about that, give our thoughts on the first top 25, including the first ever time that the number one overall team in the AP top 25 is an underdog in week one. That is the Texas Longhorns.
Tejas.
We will give that. We will give our thoughts on that later on in the show. Also, ESPN coming out with future power rankings. We will look at those, see where the Titans stack up later this hour. But some news and notes around the Titans. As Robbie Rexroad were calling him, T-Money Wiggle, Trevor Siemian, is back with the Titans.
I'm calling him that forever.
The football reference nicknames is the best, because most of them, I think no one has ever called these players before.
Yeah. Like, I wonder if they go to the player and be like, all right, what do you want? And Trevor Siemian says, give me T-Dot Wiggle.
I wonder if it's more like Wikipedia, where anybody can put any nickname in, and as long as nobody wants to change it, they just leave it there. Like,
Do you think Trevor Siemian is aware that T-Dot Wiggle is on his nickname?
See, these are the hard-hitting questions that we need someone to ask.
We gotta ask him.
I saw PK did get a picture of Trevor Siemian returning to Titans practice after... Is this what his third stint with the Titans?
Yeah.
Because he was with the team during the COVID year.
Yeah.
And then last year he was on the practice squad for a little bit too. So
beat the Titans too with the Saints.
Right. He did. So Trevor Siemian, you can't get rid of him. Honestly, we talked about it with TD yesterday. You couldn't have much of a there was only room to go up from Tim Boyle. And I think the Titans realized that after a .6 passer rating back on Saturday in Tampa. Like, .6 is just abysmal.
That's record low.
Brandon Allen played bad, and he had a 30.6. So he was 50 times better than Tim Boyle based on passer rating. So Tim Boyle, we went through his college stats. Like, I don't understand how he has lasted 7 years in the NFL. It is impressive, and I give him all the props in the world, because as I believe Tim Hasselbeck has said plenty of times on this station, you keep playing till all 32 teams tell you no. I'm surprised that hasn't happened for Tim Boyle yet, because
he had his Linsanity run with the New York Jets.
Right.
Remember when Zach Wilson got benched and they put in Tim Boyle and he carved it up for 2 weeks?
I guess that's where it came from. We had a texter yesterday say that Aaron Rodgers loved him, and I guess that's why he stuck around. But Tim Boyle is no longer on the Tennessee Titans. Trevor Siemian takes his spot as QB3. So expect to see him on Friday night against Atlanta. A couple news and notes. I believe Robbie and Joe mentioned it, that Raheem Morris said, no Michael Penix, likely no Kirk Cousins on Friday. So if you were expecting to see the Titans defense against a starting level quarterback in preseason game number 2, You're not going to. It's going to be Easton Stick, North Dakota State legend. And is it Emery Jones was the other guy who...
Yeah, who you know, I didn't know existed until today.
I couldn't tell the difference between him and Adam. So, you know, it'll be Easton Stick starting on Friday night in Atlanta for the Falcons. And the other big news for the Titans, Lloyd Cushenberry activated off of the PUP list as he passed a physical yesterday. Again, talked with TD about the possibility of that yesterday. Connor, that's huge news for the Titans to get Lloyd Cushenberry back out on the practice field. Not that I expect him to immediately go out and be the starting center in team drills today and tomorrow. I think that would probably be a little bit too much. But just to get him acclimated, do the individual periods, get him snapping the ball to Cam Ward over the next couple of weeks, and then you hope maybe by that Vikings preseason game, you can get him out there with the first team offensive line for a couple series, get them working together, and then hopefully he's ready for week one. I don't know if you can 100% pencil him in to start for week one right now, but the first step is getting him off the PUP list, getting him back out on the practice field, and that happened yesterday.
That's massive, right? Because that means you can get him plugged in with the offensive line, maybe not take all the reps, but ease him in, and guess what? That starts to gel your offensive line. That starts to piece it together to where, I mean, they looked solid in the preseason game on Saturday. You plug him in, who is pretty solid last year at your center position, I think that only brings your offensive line talent upwards.
Right, and we saw on Friday or Saturday night, again, against backups, like you have to be able to understand that it wasn't the Buccaneers' top pass rush unit, but it also wasn't the entire Titans offensive line. You didn't have Kevin Zeitler, you didn't have Lloyd Cushenberry, and they held up really well. So it's a step in the right direction. Again, it doesn't mean a whole lot for what this unit's going to look like in the regular season, but it's better than the alternative of defensive end number four for the Buccaneers blowing by Dan Moore and hitting Cam Ward on one of those snaps on Saturday night. So we will see what it looks like on Friday. Again, with two joint practices, it makes sense that the Falcons probably wouldn't play a ton of their starters. And honestly, I don't think the Titans are going to play a ton of their starters. When you do the two joint practices, like the preseason game really doesn't matter a whole lot. You want to put Cam Ward out there, I think, and you want to put the starting offense out for a series or two. But if they play more than two series, I think it would shock me. And honestly, the Titans defense, you're not going to see Simmons again. You're likely not going to see Sweat again. You're probably not going to see Cody Barton again. Like,
yeah.
I think if you're going to see the Titans' true top unit in a preseason game this year, it's going to come at home against the Vikings next week.
Right. What on the defensive end do you want to see grow? Because for me, it's Femi Oladejo.
I agree.
I thought, not that he looked awful, but I thought he just looked lost out there. Like, I thought he didn't look like he was doing the right things, and when he was just being overpowered by the offensive line. They will tell us how much ahead of schedule he is, but he looked behind to me.
Yeah, and it's tough because you've been out there at practice, and you've said that Femi looks good. And yep. All the reporters out there have said, yeah, Femi, in terms of the project that everyone expected him to be, he looks ahead of schedule, and then he comes out, and he's really just a non-factor on Saturday night. It's one game, and you can't just completely say, all right, well, I guess the practices don't matter at all.
Right.
But I agree. I'd love to hear out of joint practice this week that Femi is flashing. Because with a raw talent like that, I think consistency is going to be the last thing that comes. And we probably won't see consistency until at least next year. But you want to see the flashes of the raw talent because that's exactly why you drafted him. He's big, he's fast, and he's got all this potential. Can he show that potential this week in these joint practices against the Falcons? I think that's going to be crucial. I think you feel pretty good about Barton and Williams as your top inside linebackers right now. Barton's done well in practice so far in training
camp.
Williams
is a beast.
Williams was the highlight defensively on Saturday
night. And on special teams.
And on special teams. I mean, that hit on the kickoff was ridiculous. So you look at those inside linebackers, you feel good about the top line there. You feel good about the top line at defensive tackle. You feel good about your starting safeties. Corner is iffy. And we had the whole Legarius Sneed conversation yesterday. You can't count on him, but you hope that he's able to come back and at least give you something. Edge is really the biggest question mark on this defense, and Femi is the big difference maker that could make or break whether this pass rush has any juice on the outside, because Draymond Jones and Arden Key, like, yeah, they're going to get you a couple sacks. They're veteran guys. They're not going to be complete pushovers out there, but are they going to be difference makers? No. Femi is the guy who has a chance to possibly be that down the road. So I would like to see him step up in these joint practices and in the preseason game on Friday night against the Falcons. Again, Titans down in Flowery Branch, Georgia. We are going to give you as many updates as we can from the joint practices today. Again, I don't know how well enforced the 90-second rule that Paul Kaharsky tweeted about yesterday is going to be. I'm seeing lots of parking lot videos. That's pretty much...
That's what we want to see.
Like Corey Curtis, who will be on with us tomorrow for the full show. He just tweeted out Titans hitting the field in Georgia as they walk across the parking lot. Paul Kaharsky put out a 82-second video of the Titans crossing the parking lot. So if that counts, he's only got eight left.
I've already heard all the comments I want to hear today from Sebastian Joseph Day.
Yeah, Sebastian Joseph Day making his thoughts known early in that Paul Kaharsky video.
He's got some stuff to do today.
But we will give you as many updates as we can from the joint practices. Again, I'm not sure exactly how it's going to work. Are they going to be live streaming press conferences because of this rule? Who knows? But we will give you as many updates as we possibly can. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to text or call, we'd love to hear from you. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Again, Jake Lyman, Connor Newt with you today. Coming up next, we will continue to talk about the joint practices today and also an article that came out yesterday from ESPN. The future power rankings projecting the NFL 3 years from now. And we've had the conversation over the last couple of months since the Titans drafted Cam Ward is that the goal is to be good by the time the Titans move into their new stadium in 2027, three seasons from now. Where does ESPN think the Titans will be when the new stadium opens up? We'll talk about it next. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, next man up here on 102.5 The Game.
It was. It's not really too different from college. Just more of being, I would say, alerted on third downs. Just the cans that you can get to in Coach Callahan's offense. And then just getting the ball out when it needs to be out.
That was Cam Ward after his preseason debut on Saturday talking about, you know, seeing NFL defense for the first time in a game setting. It went pretty well for him. 5 of 8, 67 yards, ended with a touchdown drive, including three passes to Calvin Ridley for 50 yards. Looked pretty good on Saturday night. Jake Lyman, Connor Newton, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Titans hitting the practice field in Flowery Branch, Georgia for a joint practice with the Atlanta Falcons. First of back-to-back days with joint practices against the Falcons. Connor, we talked about it yesterday with Teron, that these are important practices for Cam Ward because it's all about stacking these good days together. And there are going to be mistakes, but it seems like Cam Ward has turned a corner over the last week. You look back to 9 days ago on Sunday in the second-to-last practice before the Titans left for Tampa, and Brian Callahan rips the offense a new one. Cam Ward, I believe it was put out there that he went like 5 of 13, had two picks dropped on that final practice on Sunday. And since then, Wednesday overall was viewed as a good practice. Thursday seemed like he had a solid joint practice against the Bucks. Looked good in the preseason game on Saturday. But he has to keep it going. And you don't want to take a massive step back. It's an opportunity where you don't get to come home between games. You got to go out there and face a new defense for the first time. He could take a massive step back. I think it's important to see that he's able to continue to grow against this Falcons defense today.
I think it's important to realize that contrary to what some people believe, he's going to make mistakes, and you have to accept that. He's a rookie quarterback. He's going to make these rookie mistakes like not throwing the ball into the eighth row on a throwaway or, you know, throwing a ball up for grabs that should have been picked but wasn't because you're playing some bum from that's going to work at Publix next week. But it's important to realize that he's a rookie quarterback and he has to make these mistakes because then he doesn't grow. Would you feel good if he went out there and was just lights out in a preseason game and made zero mistakes? Probably. But I think maybe arguably I feel better knowing he's making mistakes, because that means he has somewhere to go. That means he has a ceiling that's higher than if he, you know, just went out there and made zero mistakes and was the absolute savior of the preseason. Marcus Mariota didn't make mistakes in the preseason during practice, and then look how that turned out. His very first pass of a preseason game was an interception.
Right. And you make a good point of, would you rather have him make the mistakes now or once you hit the field in Mile High against Denver when the game actually starts?
And let me tell you, he's going to make mistakes in Mile High.
Oh, 100%.
It will happen.
If he gets out of there without throwing a pick, I think it would shock me. It really would. Like, you're going to one of the toughest places to play, especially early in the season, because as much as you get your guys into football shape and training camp, like, going up there to a mile above sea level where the air is thinner and it's a tough environment, it's going to be tough to go win. I forget what the exact record is for the Broncos in September games at home, but it's pretty good.
Yeah.
And also, that defense is one of the best in all of football. So it would shock me if Cam Ward goes out there and lights it up against the Broncos. But I think the mistakes that he's making now are going to help him in the future, especially if he can learn from them before he actually has to hit the field for a live regular season game. And I think there will be some more mistakes. Like, Friday night, he's not going to come out and go 11 for 11 with two touchdown passes.
Yeah.
But you just want to see continued growth. And it was funny. I was listening to DVD yesterday, and they had a texter caller, one of the Dustin from Hopkinsville, I believe, which I didn't realize there were two.
There's two.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. They were apparently they were texting and disagreeing with each other yesterday on DVD.
That's crazy.
One of them said that he basically already believes Cam Ward is going to be a bust, and like, until he proves him otherwise, he's going to believe that Cam Ward isn't going to pan.
That sounds like the normal one, Dustin A.
And I've said this before. I said this in March before the Titans had even made the pick, that Titans fans are scared because of how bad the team has been at developing quarterbacks in the past. But that is a completely different front office, a completely different coaching staff, and a completely different player than Cam Ward. Like, you can't let the experiences with Vince Young and Jake Locker and Marcus Mariota mar your view of Cam Ward.
With a coaching staff that proved later on to be a complete failure.
Right. Like, look at the coaching staffs that coached all those guys. Like, Jeff Fisher,
yeah,
was, but like,
but he flamed out near the end.
You can look back and see all of the mistakes that Jeff Fisher made with Vince Young. Like, Jeff Fisher was a good head coach here, probably the best in franchise history. I think you can make that statement pretty easily. But at least since coming to Nashville, of course.
Right.
But there were mistakes made in the development of Vince Young. With Jake Locker, I think Jake Locker was more on the player. Like,
yeah.
And injuries, of course, had something to do with that. But Jake Locker just never seemed to be the type of talent that everyone thought he was going to be heading into his final year at Washington.
And also had a horrible head coach calling the plays.
Right. And then Marcus Mariota, he came in with Wisenhunt, who was a disaster. And then he had all the injuries. I mean, the broken leg is the one that stands out. I think that was the real point where it all flipped for Marcus, but also the nerve injury that pretty much ruined his entire season in 2017, 2018? It was the
yes.
year with LaFleur. It was 18.
Yeah,
2018.
Yeah, 18.
So, like, you look at all of the extenuating factors and completely different coaching staffs, you cannot just say, oh, well, Cam Ward's going to be a bust because the Titans don't know how to develop young quarterbacks. Maybe he will be a bust. It's completely possible, and maybe Brian Callahan isn't the coach who's going to be able to develop him into a star player. But I think Titans fans are scared that he's going to be a bust just because the previous quarterbacks were busts, and that's just not how this works.
And going further on that, I know how I feel about this. I know how you feel about this because we feel the same way about it. But has the narrative of sit Cam Ward for two games behind Brandon Allen officially died after you saw what Brandon Allen did on Saturday?
I think people are starting to realize that that's just, that was never going to happen, and there was never a good reason for it to happen.
Then let us pronounce it dead on the scene. The 10 bell salute.
It's just, I don't understand the fear of just believing in Cam Ward. Like, you don't have to be sunshine and rainbows. Like, there are bad things that Cam Ward has not been anywhere near perfect since training camp has started. There's been a lot of red flags. And I would say I feel worse about Cam Ward than I did at the beginning of training camp.
And you should.
Like, I was a big Cam Ward supporter in the draft process. And I believe that he was the right pick at number one. You shouldn't have traded out of it. But since training camp has started, I would say my belief has gone down a little bit. But
That's because no offense to you or to Titans Twitter, but I think you listen to some of the people on Twitter that are saying Cam is the perfect prospect. He's right. Going to be a plug and play.
Air McNair.
And you saw the result of CJ Stroud being a plug and play, lighting it up immediately, and Jaden Daniels most recently. And you kind of thought, well, maybe Cam Ward will be that.
I never thought that.
Yeah.
I had no illusions that the Titans were going to go to the playoffs this year like Stroud and Daniels did as rookies.
I'm saying from a player perspective.
But from a player perspective, I do think that he has the ability to be like an offensive rookie of the year player this year. I don't know if he will, but I think he has the ability to do that. I can't get behind the people who say, oh, well, the Titans suck at developing young quarterbacks, so Cam Ward's going to be a bust. Like, it's completely different. Marcus was 10 years ago. We've moved on. Like, Callahan may or may not be the guy. And if I had to pick right now, I'd say he's not.
Right.
But you can't let that affect your thoughts on what Cam Ward is as a player. And you have to give him a chance to go out there and prove that he's not the guy or that he is the guy. And we will find out. And I feel like we'll know pretty much by the end of year one. Obviously, there are situations where guys struggle in their first year and then figure it out. Like, Josh Allen wasn't very good his first year. He figured it out. But you have a pretty good idea of whether this guy's an NFL player by the end of his first year.
Let's say he goes out with a Caleb Williams-like season. You feel good?
Yeah. 3,500 yards, 20 touchdowns, 6 picks. Like, if that's the stats, obviously, you can't just judge based on counting stats.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to actually watch the games. But I think if Cam Ward statistically has a similar season to Caleb Williams and the team goes, what, the Bears went 5-12 last year?
Yes.
They have 5 or 6 wins. Cam Ward has a statistically similar season to Caleb Williams. I would feel good about that. I think Caleb Williams may not pan out because his personality doesn't fit being an NFL quarterback.
That's true.
I think Cam Ward's personality does. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have thoughts, we'd love to hear from you. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The Titans' future, it hinges on Cam Ward. Almost 100%. What did the next 3 years look like? ESPN took a look at all 32 teams and what their next 3 seasons could look like. They ranked all 32 teams. Where did the Titans stack up? We'll get to that coming up next. Jake Lyman, Connor Newton, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. September, Tim McGraw will be performing at Trinitix's Rock the Cradle in Nashville, a meaningful event supporting newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Get your tickets now at rockthecradlenashville.org. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, next man up, 102.5 The Game. We both just noticed the new chair in the studio. I know the stream doesn't have it up right now, but Derek Mason has upgraded his chair in here.
Sort of.
Except he wrote on it in Sharpie. Derek chair, don't take out of studio.
I was wondering why the old chair is back here behind me. I might test it out because I love that chair.
Well, I mean, Derek is the only one who sits in the middle because it's the only show with 3 people. So I guess
Paul sometimes.
Right, but I guess, yeah, when Paul comes in here. But there you go. Derek Mason upgrading his seating choice here in the
Who's going to sit in the middle on Saturday? So I'll have to plan this out.
Yeah, that's true. Who gets the nice chair?
Because I'll take your spot. That might be Nick Frazier.
It is very comfy. It is. I'm a fan of the new chair from Derek Mason. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Titans down in Georgia for joint practices, taking on the Falcons. We will give you as many updates as we can from there. Again, not sure exactly how much we're going to get out of the joint practices because of the 90-second video rule, and that includes all, like, quotes and press conferences. And so who knows what we're going to get. It seems like practice has gotten underway, but still waiting on any notable updates from the Titans and Falcons in that joint practice. Did want to get to this article from ESPN. The future power rankings was put out by a collaboration of writers for ESPN, including Lewis Riddick, Benjamin Solak, Aaron Schatz, and Seth Walder. So kind of their analytics group. Aaron Schatz is, he's former Football Outsiders guy, obviously Lewis Riddick, and then Ben Solak and Seth Walder do a lot of their analytics, numbers, all that kind of stuff. So they ranked all 32 teams based on their next three seasons, what they could look like, and scored the teams by different categories. Overall roster without the quarterback, quarterback, coaching, and front office. The Titans overall ranked 25th out of 32, which...
About where you expect them to be.
It's fair. I think having the number one overall pick at quarterback gives them a bump. And when you look through their category rankings, quarterback is the highest the Titans have. Cam Ward is rated at a 79.8, which ranks 15th in the NFL. The front office with Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker is ranked 20th. And then coaching with Brian Callahan ranked 29th. The overall roster without the quarterback ranked 30th out of 32 in the NFL. Which, it's fair. Outside of Cameron Ward, what young players can you truly be excited for over the next 3 years? Like, there's a couple. Jarvis Brownlee would be one of them. Tavondre Sweat.
Your offensive line guys.
Right.
Latham Skoronski.
There are pieces there. But overall, it's not like this is a Titans team that is just a year or two away. Everybody kind of knows that this is going to be a little bit of a longer overhaul for this roster. But the Titans are ranked 25th. Here is the reason for hope that was given. This was by Benjamin Solak. He says, Cameron Ward. Fair enough. I think that's the real only reason for hope
is it like
for the
that,
Titans right now.
Have you seen that Twitter thing going on right now where people are just quote tweeting each other and it's just Cam Ward, period?
Yes. Like that's,
is that what that says?
It is Cameron Ward, period. That is what it says. Reason for hope. When a team has a number one pick at quarterback in the building, all of its reasons for optimism are that guy right there. Of course, a young, excelling offensive line also helps, which would be Skoronski and Latham. And how about the young talent in the secondary? Cornerbacks Jarvis Brownlee Jr. and Roger McCreary both look like high-impact players for the next three seasons. Obviously, McCreary would need an extension if he's going to be around for the next three seasons. Reason for concern, and I actually think this is very well put by Lewis Riddick. Last year, I wondered how the relationship between Coach Brian Callahan and quarterback Will Levis would evolve. It didn't, and now Levis's time in Tennessee is coming to an end. Can Callahan avoid a repeat with Ward? That's the biggest question hanging over Tennessee, and I agree with that. You need to find the right pairing between young quarterback and coach. We just saw the Bears completely botch it by keeping Matt Eberflus, which he was a defensive-minded guy. It never really made sense, and they kept him with Caleb Williams, and now you have to start over with Ben Johnson. They hope they got it right with Ben Johnson. The Titans need to find who the guy to develop Cam Ward is going to be. You hope it's Brian Callahan, but right now the jury is definitely still out on that.
Right. And you kind of hope it's Brian Callahan because I've said this before. I think now that you've brought your young quarterback in and you have your quote-unquote quarterback guru coach, you kind of have to commit to him for the next 2 to 3 years if things go right.
Right.
Obviously, if he wins, you know, one game through the first eight, he's probably getting fired in the middle of the season. But if things go according to plan, and by according to plan, I mean 6-7 wins and Cam Ward looks good, then you got to keep him around because that's obviously showing development of the quarterback.
Yeah, and you don't want to stunt the quarterback's growth. I think a lot is made out of the, oh, this quarterback's been in four systems in 4 years. Like, the good quarterbacks can deal with that. You would obviously prefer for them not to, though. So you'd like to keep Brian Callahan around if you can.
And it wasn't like it wasn't his choice to be in four systems in 4 years.
Right. Like, well, no. Sorry, I'm saying like Marcus Mariota when he was here. Everybody so he had it was
Chip. I thought you were talking about Cam Ward.
Like. No, I'm saying like all these quarterbacks who have different systems. So like for Marcus, his junior year it was Chip Kelly. His senior year it was, I'm blanking on the new head coach's name who called plays for them. He ended up being the OC for the Bears for a little bit. Then it was Ken Wisenhunt, and then it was Terry Robiskie. Like, all back to back to back to back. That can stunt a quarterback's growth. I think it's maybe not quite as big of a deal as people may make it out to be, but you'd like to keep the consistency for Cam Ward.
Do you see why Newt Tuesdays is such a downgrade from TD Tuesdays? TD wouldn't have gotten that wrong.
Yeah, well, I think it was just, maybe I put it away that was harder to understand. Bold prediction from Seth Walder. The Titans will win a playoff game in the next 3 years. With Ward panning out and in the third year of his deal, they will have invested heavily in 2026 and 2027 to build up to the roster. Once we get to 2027, Tennessee will be the best team in its division and be a fringe Super Bowl contender.
Whoa.
Says Seth Walder.
I don't disagree with best team in the division, just because the division is so bad.
Right.
But I mean, fringe Super Bowl contender is a bit of a stretch right now.
I agree with that. I think 2027 is the year you can say the Titans will be playoff contenders. I think if Cam Ward pans out, it's 2028, 2029 is when you would think maybe they start to open a window.
It's a long way away.
It's a long way away from being a Super Bowl contender. But I agree with you, like, the best team in the division, it's a low bar because you can make the assumption the Colts are starting over at quarterback after this year. The Jaguars, like,
they're in limbo.
How long of a leash does Trevor Lawrence have?
They're in quarterback limbo because he'll do things that make the Jaguars think, oh, maybe he's exactly what we drafted him to be, and then he'll get hurt or he'll have a bad game. And then you're like, you're kind of stuck with him because you paid him that much money. So,
right. It's a tough situation for the Jaguars because, as we found out in the last segment of Robbie and Rex Road, Trevor Lawrence was the prince who was promised, like Jon Snow.
I haven't watched Game of Thrones, so this is going over my head.
Okay. But he hasn't really done anything at the NFL level, so I'm not really 100% sure how many more years they give Lawrence. He's getting this year, and I would say next year for sure. But after that, if he doesn't get you to like the divisional round of the playoffs again, I don't know if you can continue to just try and hope that
especially
he eventually pans out
with the young receiving pieces he has around.
Right.
I mean, you have Brian Thomas, you have Travis Hunter.
He's got a three-headed monster in the backfield.
You do. Like, I mean, there's no excuse for you to be average.
He should figure it out. And if he doesn't, I think that's when you have to question, is it the quarterback? Like the Dolphins, if Tua doesn't have a good year this year, I think they look to move on. Like
I think they move on from the coach.
Well, yeah, I think they might just scrub it. McDaniel, Tua, both gone.
Burn it all.
The Dolphins are going nowhere. It's like they had their little window like 2 years ago when Tyreek was still at his peak and Jalen Waddle was really good. They had a solid defense and Tua was doing just enough. But man, I don't see it for them. And
no,
I think
I'm
the Jaguars, are going to be delayed a little bit because I think Lawrence has shown more than Tua, and Lawrence obviously was drafted higher than Tua, but they're going to get to that point at some point. And then the Texans, I think the Texans you would expect would be the cream of the crop in the AFC South for the next couple years, but will they improve it much from the last couple of seasons when they got to the divisional round?
Right.
C.J. Stroud has to prove that he's in that upper echelon of quarterback with maybe not Mahomes, but like Jackson and Herbert and that kind of group.
Right.
The last thing from this article that I want to touch on, and it's funny because Aaron Schatz from ESPN and from Football Outsiders is actually on Good Morning Football as we speak. I'm watching him. And this might be the stupidest thing that anyone could have put in this article. Nugget to know. Tennessee needs to find some youth at wide receiver. That's fair. Where the starters are Calvin Ridley, 31, Van Jefferson, 29, and Tyler Lockett, 33. Fair first part. One possibility is 23-year-old undrafted free agent Xavier Restrepo, who played with Ward at Miami last season. Just completely ignoring the two receivers that they spent fourth-round picks on this year.
Like, I mean, that just shows you how out of touch the national media is with what goes on inside the Titans organization.
I mean, it's just hilarious. Like,
Restrepo's not going to make the team, pal.
There was hope.
I'll tell you that.
I was part of the hope for Xavier Restrepo that maybe there was something there.
I guaranteed it. I look worse than you do.
I think everybody around the Titans now realizes that Restrepo not only is not going to make the team, it's not like he's on the bubble either. He played 11 snaps on for Saturday night.
I mean,
like,
that's he's done.
It's over. But to just put Xavier Restrepo and just not say maybe the youth at wide receiver are the two guys they spent fourth-round picks on this year.
That looked good in practice.
Hilarious.
That's sad.
I've always had a problem with Football Outsiders. I think their DVOA model relies way too heavily on preseason expectations.
They're emphasizing the outsider portion of their name.
Right. Like, when the Titans were the one seed in 2021, you kept checking. I always looked at Football Outsiders, and it had the Titans as, like, middle of the pack in DVOA. I'm like, they're playing like one of the best teams in football. Like, and obviously they lost in the divisional round, and he can take his victory lap. But Football Outsiders, I've never liked their models, and I think it's just hilarious that the guy who's supposed to be an expert on football just completely overlooked the two guys the Titans actually spent draft capital on to put Xavier Restrepo in this article. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to chime in, our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We are getting some notes from the Titans practice down in Atlanta. We will get to some of those next. Also, I have a little off-topic note that I want to get to before we wrap up hour number one. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt with you on Next Man Up, 1025 The Game. Later today on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, the Nashville Sounds take on the Durham Bulls. First pitch is at 5:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Jake Lyman, Connor Newton, next man up. 1025 The Game. We are wrapping up hour number one here. Titans down in Flowery Branch, Georgia for joint practices with the Falcons. Teron Davenport reporting his notes from day one. Legarius Sneed worked on inside field along with Jalen Harrell. Calvin Ridley had a catch on a go route against A.J. Terrell. Good to see. I guess I think I saw from PK that Calvin Ridley worked exclusively against A.J. Terrell in the one-on-ones. Drake London mossing Amani Oruwariye in the corner of the end zone, and Bijan Robinson beating Cedric Gray on a wheel route for a touchdown in one-on-ones, too. We will continue to give you updates from down there in the joint practices. Don't see a whole lot more. Seems like they just did 7-on-7. Seems like Cam Ward, it's been kind of an average day so far. From what I've seen. Again, not a whole lot of updates, not a whole lot of videos because of the policy down there in Atlanta of only 90 seconds per day, but we will continue to give you updates as we can. Before we wrap up hour number one, I do want to mention, I watched maybe the worst movie of all time.
Is it what I think it is?
I think it is. War of the Worlds?
Yes.
Have you watched it?
I want to because it looks so horrible.
Okay, so I saw the Rotten Tomatoes scores that came out, and it had a 0%, which I think that's hard to do. That means not all, a 0% doesn't mean that every single score is 0%, but it means that every person who reviewed it said it was not good. So I watched it. I decided to, you know, just to see if what they were talking about is true, and oh my goodness, it is the worst movie I've ever seen. It is horrible.
It looks like the acting is terrible. Like, I've seen clips of it. It's just Ice Cube sitting behind a Zoom screen.
So, you know, so they tried to make it the whole movie is just like a screen recording of Ice Cube's computer. And have you watched Modern Family, Connor?
Yeah, so, most of it.
You know that they do an episode that's exactly like that, where it's Claire, she's at the airport, and she's...
Oh, yeah, that one's funny.
It's all on her computer screen. And I think they do a really good job of it. This movie tried to do the same thing and just completely botched it. It was absolutely horrible. So I want to know if there's anyone out there either who has seen it and agrees or seen it and disagrees, or if you have a movie that maybe rivals it, because I really don't think I've ever seen a worse movie in my life. Like, it lives up to the, I guess you can't say hype. Maybe it lives up to the hype for being as bad as everyone says it is. I promise you, you will watch it and be like, yeah, I didn't think it was going to be as bad as everyone said it is, but it is. It was horrible. I wonder how much Ice Cube got paid for that.
I saw one part where it literally, like, he's doing like an overtone narration. It literally just sounds like he's reading directly from the script.
Well, I saw from somebody else that they reused one of his reaction shots 5 different times in like a minute long thing. Like it's the same exact shot and they just replay it over and over instead of just having him actually react 5 different times. It was absolutely horrible. So if anybody out there has a movie that maybe rivals it, because I guess I want to watch horrible movies for some reason, let me know. I'd love to see if there's anything close to War of the Worlds. It was absolutely terrible. Michael and Madison said The Room has got to be the best worst movie of all time. No, we have already established that Draft Day is the best worst movie of all time.
Love Draft Day.
Draft Day is a horrible movie, but it's super entertaining for football fans, and I watch it every year on Draft Day. But Draft Day at least has some kind of entertainment value, and like even though it's completely unrealistic, it's a feel-good watch. There is no redeeming quality to War of the Worlds. It is absolutely horrible. Again, if you have thoughts, let me know. 615-737-1025. Connor, do you have any movie coming to mind that might rival how horrible that movie is?
I don't know, rival, because I haven't seen it.
Right.
I want to, but I haven't seen it. I'm thinking of movies that are like disappointing. Like I thought Thor 2 was awful.
But
like not to the quality of,
right,
of that. Man. I mean,
we've got some texters who are agreeing that it might be the worst movie of all time. Merle from Mount Juliet said it sucked bad, made me dizzy the way it was through his computer screen and everything was so fake and cheaply made. John says, I think that has to be the worst movie of all time. Although I saw Bruno in theaters when it came out and had to walk out because it was just too much.
Maybe not the same quality, but the Fantastic Four, not the new one, the one they made like 10 years
ago. You know
what?
I just watched that.
With Miles Teller.
Yeah, that's a bad movie.
It is really, really bad.
Not good. And it's funny because, so it's on Prime Video, and so I watched that on one of the plane trips this weekend, and then I watched the new one with Eddie Murphy on Prime Video and Pete Davidson. I don't know if you've seen this. It's called The Pickup. It actually was pretty good. Like, it's one of your stupid, like, buddy cop comedy kind of things, but it actually was pretty solid, and I'm not a huge Pete Davidson guy. I love Eddie Murphy. I thought it was pretty good.
You don't like Pete Davidson?
I'm not a huge Pete Davidson guy. I think his stand-up comedy is decent, but I thought his sketch stuff on SNL was really stupid.
See, I'm petitioning for them to make... You've watched SNL, obviously. You know the Chad skits.
I was about to say, the Chad skit's really stupid.
It's awesome.
You like it?
It's hilarious.
Okay.
They need to make a movie.
Maybe it's to each their own. I'm not a huge fan of Chad, but I thought the movie was really good. So it's funny. Prime Video putting out one of the worst streaming movies I think I've ever seen and one of the better ones I've seen. Like, it's not like it's going to be an instant classic, The Pickup, but I thought it was fine. John says, can y'all believe my parents said War of the Worlds was good? They might be the only people on Earth, John. I have not seen any good reviews of that movie from anybody.
The Tom Cruise one from like 15 years ago is great. If you watch that, World of the Worlds.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's really good.
I don't think I've seen it, but I've heard that it's good. So, anyway, just a quick rant on maybe one of the worst movies that has ever been made. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Andy said, as I head into my bum job at Publix, knowing the difference between anyone who is on an NFL practice squad and my Publix job, big question, who is Ward's backup? We never know. I guess, Titans maybe pull somebody from Publix if Semien doesn't work out.
My brother works at Publix.
Really?
He can play.
Is it the... No, we won't. We don't have to say that.
No, you can say it.
I don't... Is it the one in Bellevue?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. I go there all the time.
Yeah.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to chime in, our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Again, we will continue to give you updates as they come in from Atlanta. We do have another one here from TD, his second notes tweet of the day. Cameron Ward, good timing on outbreaking route to Bryce Oliver during 7-on-7. Oliver tiptoed the sideline and turned up field. Jeffrey Simmons versus Chris Lindstrom, must-see matchup. Team period, Julius Chestnut had the ball punched out. Mike Hughes scooped it up for a touchdown. So scoop and score on a chestnut fumble. Penix to London for a nice gain across the middle. Penix bomb to Casey Washington on a post. Imani Hooker was a little late getting over. And Xavier Restrepo caught a short pass from Brandon Allen, weaved his way through for a 20-plus yard gain. So based on that tweet, seems like things are going the Falcons' way right now during the joint practice. But we will continue to give you updates as they come in. Do want to pivot a little bit here. We're going to talk some college football. There was a tweet yesterday that Connor alerted me to that I want to touch on about a certain former Super Bowl winning head coach. Jake Lyman, Connor Newton, next man up here on 102.5 The Game.